Pastor Mary, come on, everybody, give Pastor Mary a great big hand. I'm feeling some kind of way. It's going to be a good day. I am. I'm feeling kind of funny. I'm feeling like laughing a little bit. How's everybody doing today? New Year treating you good so far? Amen. All right. How was 2014? 2014 good to you? Well, get ready to put that in the closet. Get rid of that. We don't want the 2014. Yeah. So good to see everybody. Welcome to all our visitors. Welcome to everybody viewing online. And let's see what God wants to do, huh? I'm excited. I'm really excited. I tapped in a little bit last week as I shared, as we prayed between the services last week about, you know, every year about this time, you know, a pastoral staff begins to fast and pray and consider, you know, what's going on for the new year. What's the direction of God for the new year? And so we start looking ahead and asking for some direction. And as I began to do that, I saw what I shared briefly last week, and that was the elevator. And the elevator was attached to a really fine establishment. You know, you ever been to a really nice hotel? I've been to them, just the lobbies. But I've been to the lobbies, you know, and eat in the restaurants. There's this one we go to when we vacay down in Florida. And we go in there, and we look in the lobby, and we look at all the nice things they have for sale that's ridiculously priced. And then we go and we eat out on the terrace, you know. But there's a couple times where I've been in hotels, and I went into the elevator, and, you know, you see, and it's a really nice elevator. You know, it's like this elevator is really becoming of this establishment. And you look at it, and there are all the little numbers there. And what you see when you look at all the numbers, all the floors that are available to you, right? And this particular elevator, you know, all these floors, so many floors. I mean, just floors, just you know, like one through, you know, 40, you know, just floors everywhere. And you're looking at them, and in the really nice hotels, there's that one floor. There's that one floor, right? That one floor up at the top that doesn't have a little button like the rest of the floors have. That floor up at the top, it requires special access. You can't just press a button and find your way to this floor that exists. All these other floors you have access to. I mean, if you wanted to, you could get on there. You could just jump in, boop, boop, and you start hitting buttons. Just, let's take a ride. Let's experience all of these different floors in this elevator. Let's experience every one of these floors and what they have to offer. And, you know, we were on a cruise earlier this year in 2014, and you get on the elevator, and sometimes you get disoriented because you don't know if you're in the back of the ship or the front of the ship. And you get on the elevator, and you're just like, I don't know what floor that is. Let's just experience. The levels of God's glory on this massive ship, you know? And so we just start hitting buttons. It didn't even matter where we ended up. We were just experiencing every one of the levels there, you know? And in this vision that I saw, this elevator, and then there was that floor. All of these floors we had, like, you know those floors. Those floors, you're familiar with those floors. You understand what those rooms look like. You understand what those rooms offer. You've experienced everything that all of that that's available. You've experienced that, Troy. Yes, God. And then he said, but do you see that one right there? I said, yeah, I see that one right there. He said, now, there's something there. You know it's there. There's a floor that exists in the kingdom that we all know exists, right? We all know that exists. You get in the elevator, you look at that, and you're like, there's something more up there, but you can't get to it. The only way, and here's the thing, you can't even walk into the hotel, right? Even if you wanted to, you couldn't walk into the hotel and say, hey, you know that one floor where you have to slide a card into to get to, I want to reserve that room. They would look at you and say, well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's reserved for our special guests. And I said, God, how is it that I know that there is a realm of existence that is available to me, but I don't have access to it. God, I want access to that which I know exists. You can't tell me it doesn't exist. There's a little thing right there that tells me there is another level of existence that I have yet to experience. God, I want to experience that next level living that I know is available to me. I'm ready to get there. I'm ready to get there. You know, that's an expression that's used. You'll hear that expression, next level. Like if somebody, like you're on a basketball court, if LeBron does something really special, they'll be like, oh, that was next level. That was next level play. And I just want to release over you right now the word of you're coming into a realm of existence of next level play. You're getting ready to walk into, you're getting ready to gain access to a realm of existence that we all know is available to us. You see, you can't tell me it's not available to me. I know it's there. I've tasted and saw. I've been on the elevator in glimpses where it's went to that floor, and I've been able to peek in a little bit, and I've seen some of the furniture, and I've smelled some of the smells, and I've heard some of the sounds. I know there's something there. I'm done with this raggedy existence of 1 through 30. I'm done with that, God. I need some next level living. I'm done living in levels 1 through 30. I've already experienced all that they can give me. What I need is what's available in that next level stuff that you have to have special access to. I said, God, I want to get there. You want to get there, Troy? Yeah, God, I'm done with this raggedy stuff. I'm done with this. I'm looking for that next level stuff. You know that stuff, that weird stuff, where you walk into a place and stuff starts popping off. That stuff where God, I'm ready to go into that realm of existence where God, where the sick are made well instantly. I'm ready to go into that existence, God, that... I'm ready to go to a place where, you know, I can pray for bald people and they receive hair. It don't even make no sense just because I said. Just because I can gain access there. I'm ready to go to a level of existence that at a word destroys poverty in a region. I'm done with this. I'm done with 1 through 30. It's worn me out. It's made me tired. I'm done striving, God. I can't do it no more. I can't go into 2015 living the way I went out of 2014. Too many people died. There was too many premature deaths. There was too many people diagnosed with cancer. I hate cancer, God, and I got to believe that cancer don't exist up in that special place up there. God, I need to get up there. I'm done with this raggedy existence. I'm just done with it. And I just release over you this spirit of just a warrior that says, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done walking through 1 through 30. I'm done living there. That stuff is beneath me. I'm done with that. I mean, we've already experienced all of that. That's not sufficient. It's like you let me taste of it, and then I don't get to walk in the reality of it. I'm done with 1 through 30. I need to walk. I need to go. Listen, I need access so I can open the doors, walk up in there, put my feet over on the couch, take in the views. I need to jump in the hot tub there. I need to order some room service from that place. I need to lay on the bed in that place. I need to eat those special nuts they put next to the bed in that place. There's some food that's available up there. I need to put on one of them robes that you got up there. I need to put one of those on. I'm looking to cover myself up in satin sheets. I need some comfort that's only available from that next level stuff. I can't get it through 1 through 30. 1 through 30 ain't giving it to me. 1 through 30 has left me shallow and hollow and wanting. I've been found in the balance and I'm just wanting more, God. I've been looking for you and it's just not enough. I need excess. I can't do it no more, God. I cannot go into 2015. And see, for the most of us, we weren't excited about 2015 as much as we were done with 2014. we was We was looking back on 2014. We was like, listen, I just got to get out of there just to save myself so I can walk into here. We didn't even care what was in front of us. We just knew we had to get up out of there. I don't even care what's 1 through 30. I just can't live there no more. How in the world? I was saying this to Josh as we drove in. I said, I feel like God sometimes messes with me. God let me see just a little bit. He let me see just a little bit. Keep me on the line. I feel like he's got me on the line lots of times. I said, God, how come I get to see it, but never apprehend it? I'm done seeing that stuff in some mystical place. I'm ready to apprehend it in a physical place. I'm ready to walk into a hospital, up in that ICU unit. You know, next level living. I'm ready to next level up and go, all right, everybody, be healed in Jesus' name. You say that's Christian theatrics. No, I'm looking for next level existence. You mean to tell me there's another realm of existence, God, that is there, but I haven't gained access to it yet? Yes, Troy. Well, what do I got to do to get access to that next level, God? We all know it exists. You know it exists. You can't tell me it don't exist. I feel it. There have been times when I've touched it. There have been times when I've been on that elevator and the door opened. I put my foot in there. There have been times when that elevator door opened, I stuck my hand in and I said, someone go give me a drink of water from the faucet real fast. Because the water tastes different in there. That's that $10 bottle water. That's some special water up there. There's something up there that's not on 1 through 30. And God said, you know it exists, don't you? I said, yeah, God, I know it exists. There have been times when I saw that right there take place. I saw it. It's rare. You keep me on the line. I keep looking for it. You'll let me see it at a distance occasionally. Your glory will pass by and keep me awake in my spirit. But God, that is not enough anymore. That's just not enough. I've got to walk in the fullness of your glory in 2015. I mean, God, I'm done. I'm done with that. How do I get it, God? How in the world do I get the key card that opens that door and says to me, you're allowed to be here? Right? Sometimes we go in, take it, and then we run out. But there's a realm of existence in the next level of living where you can open the door, walk in calmly, rest there. Call your friends, invite them in. Say, come experience this next level of existence that you always knew was there, but never was able to apprehend. It's always been there. You've always known it. You've sensed it. You've felt it. You've heard it. You've tasted it occasionally, but this is the fullness of that. I mean, this is that thing where you walk in and your shadow heals people. This is that stuff where he would walk into a factory and you know, everybody lame with, you know, this is that stuff where you walk down the road in downtown Cleveland and people would just begin to weep and repent, and then they begin to stammer in tongues unknown to men, and this is revival like you've never seen it before. This is the kind of revival that brings epic economic upturn in a city. This is the kind of revival that brings healing that's unknown ever in the known history of man. Healing like never before. I mean, stuff that just freaks people out. Next level. How do I get there, God? How do I get that little card? He said, you have it already. I said, God, well, tell me where it is. Have I misplaced it? It is in my jeans. I thought I lost my wallet the other day. I lost it. I'm sitting at the table. I had this incredible, this meeting was talking about revival with the guy, talking about bringing the call to this region. You know what the call is, Lou Engel and the call. Well, if you don't Google it later, it's amazing. And I'm sitting there having this meeting. I can't focus because my heart, my attention is on that which I lost. He said, Troy, you want that? I said, yeah. He said, you gotta approach it the same way you approached your wallet the other day when you thought you lost it. Because your soul wouldn't rest until you found what you lost. I mean, your mind was like, you were present, but you were not present. You were at the table, but your mind was looking for your wallet. And I need you to exist like that in the earth. I need you to be there, but your mind be somewhere else. I need your mind to be apprehending me all the time. You want access there? I'll say, God, yes, God, yes, God. He said, pursue me like that. Think about me like that. Let your mind be on me all the time. Because I've already given you the card. I've already given you the card. You've just refused to put your mind on the place of intimacy with the Father that opens the door continually every day, every day, every day. Intimacy, you've touched it before because you've grown intimate with me at times. There have been times where you've grown intimate enough where the door slides open and you see it and you're overwhelmed by it. We call it the anointing. We call it the presence of God. Suddenly, you know, the worship gets right. Suddenly the atmosphere starts to change. Glory opens. The veil begins to part. And we're like, oh my goodness, I am a man undone. I sense the presence of God in this place. And then suddenly something happens. We begin to realize, well, our mind begins to think about other things rather than Him. And the door closes a little bit. There's a realm of existence. It's available to us as believers. It's available. And we all know it to be true. If you're new and you never tasted Jesus and you happen to be here this morning, you probably felt it just a little while ago during worship. You're probably feeling it right now. You're sensing the Spirit right now, like there's something. That's what I'm talking about. That, I mean, when I felt the presence of God for the first time, I didn't know Jesus from Jimmy. When I felt Jesus for the first time, my whole being lit up. I was like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. I only been alive 24 miserable years, but this has been the thing I've been looking for since I've been breathing air. It's available, but it's only achievable through deep intimacy with the Father. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where your mind is stayed on Him. Your mind stayed on Him, your heart pursuing Him. There's a story in the Bible of a man named Elijah. He was on the run. He was on the run. Exhausted. Like many of us, got to a place in life where the fight just wore him down. The fight was just too much. He gets to a place. Go with me, 1 Kings 19, verse 3. He gets to a place. So that when he saw that he was being pursued, the enemy was dogged after him. He had fought and he had fought and he had fought. He had won some, but he had lost some. And many like Elijah in this room today, you say, yeah, there's been some fights that I've won. But I paid the price. I mean, you know, I barely made it here today. I mean, I've lost a lot. I've been bruised and I've been broken. I fell down many times and wanted to stay there. And let me encourage you that there's no faith in fall down. There's only faith in get back up. And so, you know, there've been lots of times where you fell down and your faith has lifted you back up. But you, like Elijah, can say, I'm tired and I need to get away from this. I need some rest, God. I need you to help me. I feel like dying. I'm just tired of living this way. I'm tired of I can't go into 2015 fighting the same way I fought in 2014. And many of us got to the end of 2014 and look back on it. I read your post. I saw it. You was just like, man, I'm just so glad. I'm just so glad. You didn't even talk about 2015 and all of the victory that was to be possessed. We didn't talk about the vision that was casted into 2015. We didn't talk about what the Lord said about 2015. All we could talk about was what happened in 2015. 2014 and how that is the thing that pushed you into 2015. Now, when we develop a theology that bad experiences attempts to push us into good experiences, it's broken. We must live by the promises and pursue them at all costs. We must let go of that which was done to us and grab a hold of that which was spoken over us. And so we looked at 2014 just like, hey, that's a wash. God help me get out of here. I'm done with that. I done fought cancer. I done fought, you know, this and I, family and that and the government and the gas prices and the, praise Jesus that the gas prices are down. I don't know what it's doing, but hey. I don't know. Some people tell me, don't praise Jesus for that, because that's not a good thing. I said, well, I bless God, it's helping me right now. Bless the Lord. I paid a dollar. I paid $19 for 20 gallons of gas the other day. I danced. I wanted to take a picture of it. Most people take pictures of food. I was like a gassy. I was like, you see that? Praise Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. The gas is, I don't know if that's a good thing, though, but Jesus got it. We come out of here, we just come out of 2014 dragging, barely making it, you know? And Elijah felt the same way. He said, when he saw that he ran for his life, what you running from today? What you running to is the better question. What are we running to? So he ran for his life and he went to Beersheba. That's a special place. It's found in Midian. There's a man who went to Midian once and he had an experience with bush. An experience with a bush. And he said, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. And I just sense the Lord declaring, we got to get to a desert. I know it doesn't make sense, but we've got to get to the desert. There's something in the desert. But we can't go there with our servant. If we're going to achieve next level living, the servant mentality, this idea, this notion that we get to carry around, we get to allow somebody, we just carry around this guy. He just travels with us. He just follows behind us. And he said that he left his servant there. He said, you stay here. I can't rely upon you anymore. I can't put my bags on your shoulders anymore. You have to stay here and I have to go there. I can't rely upon your words of wisdom anymore. It's all on me now. If I'm going to get to that place, I got to go there alone. I loved you. I thank you for serving me. I thank you. I thank you for carrying me. I thank you for helping me along the way. I thank you for speaking words in season when I was weary. I thank you for the help. But this travel, this where God is taking me, if I'm ever going to get to where God's taking me, I've got to learn to carry it on my own. God's declaring over it. There comes a time that it is now that we have got to grow up in Him. We have got to grow up, we got to pull them up. We got to buckle them up. You gotta get stronger in the spirit. You gotta strengthen yourself in the Lord. Many times when Elijah would get weak, he'd run back to his servant. He'd say, now go get me a drink of water and get me some food and cook it up real good. And God said, no more of that. You done relied on your servant enough. You've been relying upon man way too long. It's time for you to rely upon me. And you've got to go out in the Midian. You've got to find your way out into the desert. I know it don't make no sense. I know it don't make no sense that I would ask you to come out into the desert when you're feeling tired. God, I need to go home. I need to run home. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. I need to run home, God. Because home's where you go when you're tired. Home's where you go when you need your soul restored. You don't run out into the desert when you're tired, when you're beat up, when you're bleeding, when you're broken. You don't run out into the desert. My goodness, any survivalist would tell you, you got to find a place of shelter. You should go home. God, I'm running a fever. You should go home. But God said, no, what you should do is go to the desert. He said, I know man would tell you, go to the hospital. I know man would tell you, go home, put your feet up, put yourself on pause for a minute, take a break. Take a break, relax. You just need to take a break. You need a man moment. No, God said you need a God moment. You need to find your way out into the wilderness. You need to go to that place where Moses went when he was pursued by his enemy. Jeremiah says in 6:16, he said, go find the old path and pursue it. You see, there are ancient wells that are among us. When I get real tired, and I'm broken, I go to my dad. I go to y'all call him pastor, I call him dad. I go to dad and I said, dad, I'm tired. I just this and I'm this is that. And he said, well, let me tell you what I do when life gets on me like it's getting on you. This is what I do. And there's a bush out there, and you gotta find the bush. And he goes to the exact same place that Moses went to. He went to the exact location. He went out into Midian looking for a bush that was on fire. He was on the run. 1 Kings 19:3 says, when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba. Elijah comes to the place that Moses came. Exodus 3:1-2 tells us Moses and how he was tending his flock, and he was in that same place. When life gets like that, when life starts to beat us up, what we've got to do is we've got to find Midian. We got to find Midian. We got to go to the desert. I got to go find the desert. What do you mean? I'm going to find God. I'm going to find him. God speaks. God speaks. I got to go find the place where God speaks. Find the place where God speaks. God spoke to Moses there. God will speak to you there. If God spoke to Moses in the desert, God will speak to you in the desert. If God spoke from a bush to Moses, God will speak from a bush to you. All of creation will testify to you. But you got to go. You got to get up out of here and you got to go to the desert. You got to have a go-to move. What's your go-to move? Your go-to move, it's a get God move. A get God move. What's your go-to move when you're getting beat up? You know, if you're a boxer, what's your go-to move? I mean, like Tyson was the uppercut. You know, Muhammad Ali, he was just bad. But what's your go-to move? I'm on a basketball court and I'm playing. I got a go-to move. I won't say it because some of them are sitting over here. But I got a go-to move. Kyle, you can't know my go-to move. Get on the court with you. That's my go-to. The defense gets too tough. It gets too rough out there. I got a go-to. I give him a little fake here and then, woo. Been time for him. Got a go-to move. My go-to move is to pass it. My go-to move is always to pass. I'm passing it to you, Jesus. Jesus, I need help. Here, you shoot it. I'm all out. I got no more moves. I done Kyrie'd it. I done LeBron'd it. They still on me, God. I can't shake them. She's just on me. All the ballers get it. They're like, yeah, that's true. You got to get a go-to move. What's your go-to move? When it gets too tough, what do you do? When it gets too tough, you got to pass it to him. I come see you in the desert. And lots of times we avoid the desert, don't we? We avoid it. We need to understand that that our Father, he provides in the desert. I seen it with my own eyes. I seen it. I saw the desert bloom. In Judean desert, I saw it with my own eyes. We were there and come over this crest and look down into this valley and nothing but green. You're in the middle of desert nothing, and suddenly there's palm trees everywhere. Where did that come from? God said, I'll make the desert bloom. I'll make the desert bloom for you. I'll create waters, a stream in the desert. And as soon as Elijah showed up there, he started looking for something. He said, I know of a man, his name is Moses. And when he was being pursued and when he was being pressed on and when he couldn't take it no more, when he couldn't take it anymore, when all of his family forsook him and they all wanted to kill him, he ran out into the desert and God met him there and he found a bush. He found a bush and he took rest under a broom tree. 1 Kings 19:5 says, then as he lay and he slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him. And he said to him, arise and eat. God's provision when you're tired is found under the broom tree. It's always found under the broom tree. See, broom trees provide so much. There's a tribe that exists in Israel. They're called the Bedouins. And they've learned something about this special tree. That if they can find this special tree, and if you went with me to Israel, we actually slept in a Bedouin camp. But this tribe of people have learned something about this tree. It's a special tree. You see, this tree, they look for whenever they're out in the desert because it provides five things. It provides five things. First of all, it provides shelter. It provides shelter from the storm, from the sun, from the rain, from the wind, from the sand. Its leaves are, they're so vast. It's so covering that if you snuggle up next to it, it'll come over top of you and you can rest there when the winds come through. You can rest there when the sun's blazing. You can rest there when the rains begin to fall. When the storms of life come, you can nestle up next to the broom tree and you can find shelter for your weary soul. You got to find the broom tree. Recently, we were going somewhere and my wife forgot her umbrella. And she said, well, what you'll have to do is you'll have to pull up and I'll have to take my coat and put it over me and I'll run in. And immediately I heard God talk. We've been fabricating broom trees. We choose to live somewhere else. And when we need shelter, we'll make it ourselves. If you're here today and you've been providing your own shelter, God wants to give you shelter. You say, I'm in the middle of the desert. Doesn't seem like there's any near. There's some. It's available. It's a broom tree. But there's no way you can provide shelter for yourself. There's no way to provide your own shelter in this storm. Shelter from the storm. Psalm 31:20 says, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You need some shelter from any of that. You need to find a broom tree. Psalms 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from the trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. There's a song that's sung underneath a broom tree. It restores your soul. Suddenly the melody of heaven is played and you begin to restore. Your soul begins to be strengthened in the Lord. You've got to find a broom tree. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the broom tree of the Almighty. You got to get to a broom tree. Secondly, the broom tree, the Bedouins knew that the broom tree provided rest. They knew this. They knew that the seasons that came and the seasons that went produced leaves, and those leaves would fall and then new leaves would come. And that bed of leaves would provide a soft and comfortable bed. They knew if they could just find a broom tree, they could get rest. Leaves always left the bed under the tree to provide rest to recover. And I sense in my spirit that what we need in this season of the broom tree is we need some rest to recover. And understand that it is just a season and not a lifetime. You need to write that down. The broom tree is a season and not a lifetime. We are never meant to take up residence next to a broom tree. We are not allowed to just in the middle of the desert, take up rest. And many of us have found our place where we've been perpetually in the desert. We've just decided, you know what? I'm not going back to that, so I'll just live here. I'll live in a place where I know the promises exist. I know that it's there, but I won't pursue it. I won't go after it. I just choose to live a mediocre Christian life between levels 1 and 30. I mean, at least I made it to 30. Isn't that good enough? Anything less is not the promise. Anything less is just a shadow. And it's not what God promised. God promised rest for your soul. Mark 6:31 says, this is what Jesus said. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. Jesus said, there's rest in the desert. We don't look at the desert like that. The desert is hot and uncomfortable. There aren't the pleasantries of home in the desert. But Jesus said, if you'll come out to the desert, I'll give you rest for your weary souls. Get to the broom tree and rest, because it's quiet in the desert. You won't find throngs of people in the desert. You won't find the hustle and the bustle. You won't find church bureaucracy in the desert. You won't find backbiting in the desert. You won't find gossip in the desert. You won't find hatred and dissension in the desert. You won't find your brother's hot breath on you in the desert. You won't find knives or guns or violence in the desert. All you're going to experience in the desert is his presence and you. Because nobody is beating down the door that leads to the desert. Every one of us avoid the desert, but God's calling us to Midian to find a broom tree. Thirdly, what you'll find when you find a broom tree is you'll find fire. Lord Jesus, we need fire. We need fire like never before, young people. Listen to me. We need fire. And you got the strength to provide it. You see, when you start a fire, it takes a bit of endurance to start it from nothing. And your generation, I'm prophetically speaking now, your generation is without fire. And it's going to take your endurance and your strength. You're going to have to, you ever see somebody make a fire from nothing? They got to rub two sticks together. It takes a long time. There's a lot of sweat. There's a lot of work involved. You got to push through. You got to endure to the end until fire comes. But your generation needs fire, and you are the ones anointed to provide fire to your generation. Because we live in a world that's cold. If you've ever been in the desert at night, it gets cold. And you can't survive in the desert without fire. But the Bedouins knew something. The Bedouins knew that if they found a broom tree, oh Jesus, if they could just find a broom tree, they could take the old sticks that were left and they could crack them. And they could start a fire there with them. They were dry enough to start a fire with them. And they build that fire up real good. They build it up real good. And then they dig a hole right underneath next to the broom tree. A little shallow hole. And then with the charcoal that was left, that the embers that were left, they'd lay them in that hole there. And then they cover it back up with the dirt and the leaves, and they lay down on it. And the fire would provide them with heat through the cold nights. They say, it's cold. I don't feel his presence anymore. I haven't felt him in a while. I need to find him. I need some heat. I need to feel his warmth again. Well, it's found next to a broom tree. And the Bedouins knew if they found that broom tree, they'd find fire. They could dig up those embers. They could lay them back out. And they could blow on them and bring them back to life. I would ask you to blow on your neighbor, but that's... I don't know how many of us brushed our teeth, but that's what we need. Hopefully you all brushed your teeth. But that's what we need in this generation. I don't need you to take my fire. I don't need... All I need... You see, all I need is for you to blow on my fire. I just need you to... And if you'll blow on my fire, suddenly something will begin to happen. If you'll encourage me in the Lord, something will begin to happen. And God said, when you're feeling cold, all you got to do is find the tree. If you'll find the tree, I'll send a desert wind to blow on the fire and ignite the embers of your life. And you'll catch on fire again. You see, we need fire for the fight. You can't fight a fight if you're just cold. You can't fight in this world with no passion. You will not win this fight without passion. What this world needs is a group of people, a church, and it doesn't matter. See, we have got to get to the place where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me if you're on fire. It doesn't matter to me if you're there looking for fire. What's important and vital to me is that I find fire for me. I've got to find it for me. And if I find it for me, then I can come blow on yours. But we can't allow one another's fire or lack of fire to diminish our fire. You gotta stop allowing those around you to be the source of your ignition. I don't need anyone to light my fire but Jesus. If I can find Jesus, He'll send a wind. He'll tell you, Brian, go blow on Troy. Go encourage him in the Lord. Blow on him a little bit. I need to start a fire over there in Avon. I need to start a fire somewhere. You're looking to each other, discouraged by what we don't see, impressed by what we can't see. More impressed by what we can see than the embers that are just beneath the surface. Oh, I'm speaking prophetically there. There are embers just beneath the surface. But you got to find the broom tree. If you'll find the broom tree, you can dig up the embers. You can pull them out and you can lay them down and you can blow on them and your marriage will come back to life. You can get passion once again. You can stop living this miserable existence between floors 1 and 30. Stop living this miserable existence where you don't trust the promises of God anymore. Living in the land of doubt 1 through 30. And the fire starts suddenly. Something happens. You start to get warm again. You start to get warm again. You start thinking about the fight again. You start thinking about, oh, my soul is being restored. I'm about to go bust somebody up. I'm going to eat some of this food. And I'm going to lay here for one more day. And I'm going to sit by this fire just long enough to get my strength. And then when I get my strength, I'm coming after you. You've got to find a broom tree. Matthew 3:12 says this, watch this. His winnowing fan is in his hand. His winnowing fan is in his hand. It's in his hand. And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You see, we've got to make a decision that we're not going into 2015 the same type of person. Troy's not coming into 2015 the same way he went out of 2014. I'm not going to be that Troy anymore. I'm going to be this Troy. I'm going to be a more refined Troy. I'm going to be a more anointed Troy. I'm going to be a more passionate Troy. I'm going to be a more on fire Troy. I'm going to be a more determined Troy. I'm going to be a more disciplined Troy. I'm going to blow. I'm going to allow the winds of the desert to blow on my life and create in me a heart that only wants Him. You just got to let the winds of the desert blow on you for a little bit. You got to go out there and find those winds. They're in the desert. There's wind in the desert. You just got to go out there and find them. How many can say, I don't want to? You see, there's a bunch of different kinds of gold, you know? There's that cheap gold, and then there's that refined gold. You see, God's trying to refine us. God's trying to refine us. And we're like, listen, I don't want to get next to that fire. That fire does something to me. That fire, suddenly, when Moses got near it, this is what it did. He said, Moses, come near me. Moses went to come. He said, ah, stop. Take off your shoes. Because some stuff got to go when you come into my fire. When you get near me, I'll start removing stuff from your life. You see, people can't convince you to do it. But I, my fire, will do it for you. If you could just get next to the broom tree and start a fire, suddenly I'll start refining your life. I'll take you to heights you never thought. I'll put you on the finger of somebody you never thought would wear you. Somebody that can afford you. Somebody that can pay top dollar for the kind of gold that you are. Huh? What kind of, you ever see that commercial with Rob Lowe? Don't be this kind of Rob Lowe. Be this kind of Rob. Don't be meathead Rob Lowe. Be this Rob Lowe. Don't be hairy Rob Lowe. Who do you want to be going in 2015? You got to find a broom tree, start a fire, and let the winds of God blow on you. Be a better you in 2015. Purpose in yourself. Resolve in yourself. I'm going to be the baddest me ever was. I'm going to be the baddest me ever was on this earth. When I wake up in the morning, everyone's going to know. I'm going to start scarring this earth the way I was intended to. I'm going to start leaving. It was something I'll never forget when I was on that cruise ship. And that cruise ship went forward. If you went to the back of the ship and you looked out, it left a trail behind it. It left a wake. I mean, you could see it for miles and miles and miles and miles. I said, God, let my life do that. Let my life leave a trail behind me. Let it affect the sea. Let it affect the undertone. Let it affect the stuff down below and let it affect the which is above. But let my life leave a trail behind me. I want to wake up in 2015 and leave a devastating scar upon the world for the enemy to see. I want them to be afraid of me. I want them to fear those that walk with me. I'm looking to build a team that says, I'm a mighty fighter in the kingdom. I'm going to live on fire, and I'm going to fight with fire. Fire for the fight. It's unquenchable. Unquenchable. It's unquenchable. That means you get close enough to it, the fire's not going to go out. What's in your life that doesn't belong there is going to go out. You're going to take off your shoes. You're going to put off that nasty habit. You're going to stop acting that way you used to act. You get next to that fire, it will do what no counsel of man has ever given to you. It will begin to remove some stuff in your life that don't belong there no more. And so you just, fire begets fire at that point. Fire for the fight. You got to find the fire, find the broom tree. Number four, you okay? Can I go two more? Number four, you find the broom tree, you'll find a river. Jesus. I'll never forget this time we went to the park and we had all our kids with us. And they were like, you know, this is a big family. So these kids are, you know, anywhere from 3 to, you know, 12, 13, you know, and they're just, and adventurous. They're very adventurous. And so we were at this park and the kids were like, hey, we're going to go down and look at the river. We're going to go down and just, we're not going to get in. We're just going to look at it. And so, you know, okay, go ahead. Don't get in the river. Okay. So they went over there and some time went by. You know, remember that? Some time went by. And we said, where'd the kids go? I already walked over there. Look, them kids was in the water. Listen. You know, hillbilly kids. They was like, they had their jaw, like a couple of them kids. I won't say who they were. They had their pants off, their shoes off, they was in the water up to here. They was swimming in the water. They was there. It was in the water. They found the river and it was like, you know what? It's too refreshing not to get all the way in. You really expected. You see, we got too many adults in the kingdom, not enough children in the kingdom. Because kids look at it and go, it's hot, that's refreshing. Now look, if adults, we could say, I'm broke, he's rich. I'm sick, he's a healer. I'm depressed, he's the joy. I've been to the Jordan River. I've been there, I went in. Watch this. Mark 1:9 says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. Somebody said this, God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them. Jesus went down in the water, and we revert this to the baptism, and it's rightfully so. But I believe the Jordan River was made the way the Jordan River was made to prove the point that you're not allowed to play on the banks of the river. You have to get in the river. And the river wasn't made. You see, the river's not made to be knee high. It's not even made to be waist high. You get in that river enough, and it's not that wide. It's only about here to the back of the wall. You get in that river enough, and suddenly you'll get caught up by the current of that river, and you'll get overtaken by the depth of that river. And that's the kind of life. He said, if you find a broom tree, you'll find a river. And if you find a river, you better get in the river and get refreshed. And you can't get refreshed by just playing in the puddles that next to it. You want refreshed, you got to get in the river. You're not allowed to just play on the banks of the river. You can't get refreshed by skipping rocks on the river. You can't get refreshed by kayaking on the river. You can't get refreshed from just looking at the river. He said, Jesus went down and got baptized in the river. He went all the way in the river as if to say, you want this life. You want to be refreshed. You want this? You've got to be immersed in it. He laid down inside of that water to let us know. You want to be refreshed. You want to be refreshed? Then what you've got to do is submerge yourself in the Father's love, in the Father's will. You got to go all the way down into that water. And refreshing for your soul will come. It will come. But we got too many adults in the kingdom. We got too many of them looking from the shore. It looks nice. Maybe next week I'll jump in. You know what? I got my shoes on today, and I'm going to stay up here on the bank. You know what? I got my new shorts on today. I don't want to get them muddy. You see, because something about the Jordan River that's amazing. It's muddy. It's brown, muddy. It's just like chocolate brown. And you get in that water, you're getting dirty. It's indelible. It's not coming off of you. It's going to leave a stain. You get in that water, it's going to leave a mark on your soul. But you got to go all the way in. You can get your feet dirty. See, a lot of us getting our feet dirty. We're just getting our feet dirty with it. We're like, okay, that's good enough. I don't want that water in my soul. I don't want it in my heart. And once it gets in my heart, then my money got to come with it. Then my time's got to come with it. Then my family's got to come with it. So we just mess around with the river. We just pick up a few rocks. Whee, throw them around. Go fishing in the river. Ooh, I caught a big one. It's done. Those days are done. You want rest for your soul. You see, in this season of the broom tree, you want rest for your soul. You got to get in. You got to jump in, man. And you know what? Cannonball in. Just jump in. It needs a generation that'll just, you know what? I'm going in head first. Without caution, I'm going. I'm going because I want it all. I don't want just my feet to be in. I don't want to just touch it with my hand every now and then. I don't want just a little bit of it. I don't want it on Sunday and not on Monday and not on Tuesday. And then maybe I'll come back on Wednesday, but probably not. I mean, that's asking a lot to get me to just actually jump in the river and get swept away by the river. No, I'm not looking for that. That's just too much. That's just too radical. I'm not ready to sell it all like that. Let me just touch it. Let me just touch it. You go around touching it enough. You go around touching it enough. One day something's going to happen. It's okay. Stay by the river then. But you see, just touching it. You come up to the top and you look in, but you're not in. You're just touching it. You see it every once in a while, but you can't fully experience it. But if you stick around the Jordan, you stick around the Jordan banks long enough, season will come when the banks will swell. The banks will swell. Revival's coming. You just stick there long enough. Get your family here. Get them here. Get your friends here. Just get them near the bank. Get them near the riverbank. We're going to create a tidal wave. The Jordan's riverbanks are going to swell. And there's a generation that gets swept away in God's love. I declare it and prophesy over this region. There's a generation that's going to get swept away by the Jordan River as it swells in this season of the broom tree. And lastly, if you find a broom tree, if you can just find a broom tree, you'll find a word. You'll find a word for your weakness and your warfare. You'll find a word that will preserve your weakness and give you strength. And you'll find a word that will strengthen you for your warfare. Rabbi Zacharias tells a story of a man named Hanh Pham. He was a prisoner of the Vietnam War, and he was taken captive for a very long period of time. He tells how he nearly gave up on God due to the constant abuse and the propaganda. He almost gave up. He got tired. He grew weary. His strength began to fail him. Day in and day out, trapped, locked in prison. Locked in a prison of existence that he thought he had the faith to overcome. But constantly barraged by propaganda from his prison takers, he began to succumb. His weakness began to succumb. He began to doubt God. He began to question his existence. So one day he was forced to clean the latrines, the toilets. He was clean. He was cleaning them. And as he discarded the toilet paper, his eye caught what he recognized as English print. He reached in cautiously and delicately to avoid the human excrement, you know, on the toilet paper. And he read these words as he unfolded the crumpled up papers. Romans 8. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. For I am convinced that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Hein wept. He wept there in that moment. He knew his Bible, and he knew that there was not a more relevant passage for one on the verge of surrender. He cried out to God in that moment, thanking him for sustaining him with a word. And if you're in a season where you're weary, let me encourage you with a word. You see, there's a broom tree. It's the cross of Christ. It sends a message to you right now, and it declares to you, there's hope. You're going to live, and you're not going to die. That cancer's no match for the resurrected Christ who hung upon that cross. You see, this broom tree tells a story throughout history and throughout eternity. And it declares to you, it speaks words to us right now on this day, that all is not lost, that all is not hopeless, that he still speaks. He speaks no matter whether you're in a prison or no matter whether you're in a palace. The broom tree still speaks, and it declares the promises of the one who hung upon it for our lives. Exodus 3:4 says this, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Can you hear him calling to you from the broom tree today? He's calling you. Close your eyes and listen for him to call your name right now. He's declaring your name, Moses, Moses. Jeremiah 31:25 says, for I have satiated the weary soul. And I have replenished every sorrowful soul. You see, the broom tree, the cross of Christ is speaking. It's speaking and it's declaring that Jesus loves us. And that every promise he provided is available. That next level living is yours. It's yours. No longer do you have to live in a state of weariness, brokenness. Beat down, discouraged. It tells us today that we can be encouraged, that there is hope for tomorrow. That 2015 is not to be lived in regret, it's to be lived with hope in the promises provided by the cross. I encourage you today, don't ever look back on the miseries of yesterday. Only look forward to the promises of tomorrow. Whatever they are, declare them from the broom tree. When life grows weary, find a broom tree. Get to it. Take rest in it. Get up next to it. Allow the broom tree to declare to you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I've declared some things over your life. I have a purpose and a promise for your life. There's some things that I've promised you that you have yet to fulfill. They're there for you. Go get them. Don't grow weary. Just be restored in this moment. Just receive it right now. This is your moment of the broom tree. This is just a season, though. You're not meant to live here. There's a that when the word comes forward from the broom tree, what it does is it declares your victory in warfare. You're going to win. He's not brought you to this place for you to lose. He's brought you to this place to restore your soul, give you strength for tomorrow. There's victory in Jesus Christ. He's going to bring you through, and he's going to bring you to the promises he paid for. Come on, bless the Lord today with a hand clap. Second Corinthians 12:9 says this as we close. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. And he said to me, everybody say that. He said to me. He's talking to you. You see, he's not talking to me. He's talking to you. Scriptures declare that he said to me. Huh? Come on. You see the Father talking to you right now. He's talking to you. He said. You know, when I heard those words, hallelujah. Water rushed through me. I saw what he said to me. He said to me. He said to me that my children are righteous seed. He said to me that my purpose will be fulfilled. He said to me that my destiny is in 2015. What is he saying to you? Close your eyes. What's he saying? Come on, it's always a promise. It's never a regret. It's never a failure. It's always a promise. Sounds a lot like this. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. What that means is, I know you're tired, but I got you. I've got you. What I did 2,000 years ago carries you through this moment. Huh? Whatever it is you're facing, you know, loss, sickness, death. Doesn't matter, because he says, my strength is sufficient. My strength is made perfect. My strength is made perfect. It's perfected when you're tired. When you're tired, that is when he's the strongest. When you're weary, that is when he's flexing. He's paying the bills when you can't. That's what that means. He said, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I pray the power of Christ rest upon us in 2015. And in our weakest moments, we embrace the strength that he provides in our weakness. This is your broom tree moment. This is it. He's going to give you shelter from the storms. He's going to give you rest so you can recover right now. Come on, you need rest. Just lift your hands all over. If you need fire for the fight, he's giving that out right now too. Fire for the fight. You say, I've grown cold. I've grown distant. I need fire for my fight. I know there's more fight left. You know, there's more fight left. You need fire. There's more fight left in you. I declare that prophetically. There's so much fight left in you. You're just a contender right now, but you'll be a champion soon. There's fire in you for the fight. He's going to give you a river so you can be refreshed. He's going to send it right there in the midst of dryness, right there where you wouldn't expect it. Because something about that broom tree, you find that cross, you'll find a river. You find that broom tree, its roots go deep, 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 deep down, and they tap in to the water source that's nearest. And that river is going to refresh you right now. You need a word. He's declaring it right now. Healing. 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 healing, confidence. Come on, there's a word, confidence. You're so insecure, but he's giving you confidence right now. You bear the likeness and the image of your father. I saw it not long ago, last week. I saw President Obama's little girl. She started acting a little, I don't know, she's being criticized for something she did, but watch this. She's acting a certain way now, but there'll be a moment when she realizes who her daddy is. Ah. You see, sometimes we define ourselves by what we've done or where we've come from. But just like President Obama's daughter, she's not defined by what she's done. She's defined by who her father is. And there'll be a day when she wakes up and she'll be like, oh, I shouldn't have did that. My dad was the president of the United States. And I just declare to you, your dad, he's the father of eternity. Your dad is the father of eternity. Woo. And there'll be a day when you wake up. Maybe not right now. I pray it's right now. But there'll be a day when you wake up and go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's my dad. And I bear his image and likeness. And that gives me confidence. That gives me strength. So I declare over you right now, maybe you have an orphan spirit, but I pray that you would receive the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption that calls out to you. And you respond with, Abba, Daddy, Father. You respond because you're a child of God. Yeah. This word brings healing to you. His word, it gives you a word in season when you're weary for the fight. There's a war to be won here. There's a war to be won. Let me tell you that. There is a war. There's a place we're going in the kingdom where we're fighting principalities and powers. And his word provides you strength for the warfare. His word now equipping you, giving you what you need for your portion of the battle in this war. Equip. Be equipped. Stand to your feet with me as we close today. If you're here today and you've never found your way to the broom tree, you don't know Jesus. You see, the broom tree is special because, well, it represents the cross. And the cross is special because your Savior and my Savior hung upon it. He bled and died to provide a way for us to bring heaven to the earth and one day go to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, I'd ask everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes, and pray for somebody right now. If you've never given your life to Jesus, it's so simple. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I feel the weight of life. I feel the weight of sin. I don't feel like I've ever been good enough, but I sense in this moment that you're the Savior of the world. And I want to give you all of my failure, all of my mistakes, all of my sin. I'd like to exchange it for your righteousness. I'd like for you to live through me. I repent of my sin and I receive that life that you give me. I promise to live for you, to bring heaven to the earth, to live with purpose and passion all my days. If you prayed that prayer with me, in just a few moments, we're going to ask you to come forward. But with your heads bowed and eyes closed, just pray with me that 2015, Lord Jesus, we declare that in 2015, we look forward to the promises. We will apprehend them with all of our might and our strength. We pray, God, Right now we pray for shelter from the storms, rest to recover, fire for the fight, a river for refreshing, and a word for my weakness in warfare. Right now I declare it over your people, and I declare in Jesus' name they are victorious. And this is just a season, God. We realize that this is just a valley. This is just a desert experience, a season, but not a lifetime. We're coming out of this desert, and we're going into 2015 to conquer and apprehend and dispossess that which belongs to you. We bless you, and we love you, and we desire to make your name famous. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward, as we conclude this service today, if you need prayer for anything. You see, if you stubbed your toe, we want to pray for you. If you know somebody sick, we want to pray for them. If you need a word, a prophetic word, maybe you need some insight into your tomorrow, we'd like to pray for that as well. But if you gave your life to Jesus, these altar ministers here would like to lead you in a prayer and just get some information from you to help you further advance in this thing called faith. We love you, we bless you, we thank you. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week and let Him talk through you. Amen. Amen. You're victorious.